Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Moed Katan, Daf Chaf Aleph. We're learning today Le'ila Nishmas Tilly Herenstein, Table Bas Yisroel. All the Nishamas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. We begin on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, 6 lines from the top. We're in the middle of a discussion we had yesterday that how do we know that you have to do Kriya when you rip Rachmon al-Islam Kriya over the 7 relatives that you're obligated to sit Sheva for, so you rip Kriya, or other situations where you rip Kriya, how do you know you have to do this in a standing position? So we brought down yesterday the Pasuk in Iyov, which says, Vayokom Iyov Vayikra, he stood up and he ripped Kriya. So more questions this. Again, 6 lines on the top, on Chaf Aleph, Omud Aleph. Dilma, the Gemara says, maybe, Milsa Yisaris Hudi Ovid, maybe Iyov did something that was above and beyond what was a Chiyav for him to do. There was no obligation for him to actually stand up, but he stood up. And I'll show you that this is right, because Dilotem Ochi, if you don't see that this is right, it says, Vayogozes Rosho, that he also, it said that he tore his hair on his head. He cut his hair on his head. Hochanami, is this something that the din requires? So clearly he did Flamishur as a din. He did above and beyond. So just like he was Vayogozes Rosho, and that's not an obligation, so too, maybe Vayokom Vayikra is also not an obligation. Gemara says, Taki, you're right. And therefore, that's not the source. What is the source? Elohim Hocha. Here's the source that a person has to go and stand up and rip Kriya. It says, Vayokam HaMelech Vayikra Es Bigadav. This is talking Shmuel Beis. When David originally heard that Avshalom had killed all of his children, it turned out that he only killed Amnon, but he originally heard that he killed all of his children, so it says that David HaMelech Vayokam HaMelech Vayikra Es Bigadav. He ripped his clothing. Oh, you see that he stood up and ripped his clothing. Are you going to say Vidilma Milsi Seris Ovid? Maybe again, David HaMelech did above and beyond what you're obligated to do, because the Ilote Mahachi, it also says Vayishkav Arutza, he also laid down on the ground. Now, Hochanami, is that something that's required too? After all, an Ovel is not required to lay down on the ground, he has to do Kfiyas Amita. He allowed Davkes to lie down on the ground. He's allowed to overturn his bed, the Tanya. For Tanya, we learned that, now we have the Girsa Yosha, but it should be Yoshan Agabi Mita. He's allowed to go and sit down, lie down on a Mita, Agabi Kisa, or on a chair, or Agabi Odioni Gidola. Rashi the Sivyat said that this is a Kisu Shel Bor. It's the covering up of a pit, like a manhole cover. And Rashi in the Ksiviyat said before, when he was Yoshan Agabi Amita, it went below Kar, below Kes, without a pillow or a mattress. Rashi explains that Odiyani is Machteshes Gedola, it's a large mortar. In other words, all of these things are not comfortable to sit on. However, even if he sits on the ground, it says Agabi Karka, which is, now we have the Girsa Mikula, but that's incorrect over here. It should be that in all of these situations, Lo Yotze De Chavos, he wasn't Yotze, the mitzvah of Kfiyas Hamita, unless you go and overturn the actual bed. The Omer of Yochanan, Shlokiyam Kviya Samita. So how can you tell me over here that David did something that was normal, required by the din, because it says Vayishkav Arutza, and that wouldn't fulfill the obligation. So he did Yaseirasa, he did extra above and beyond what the din requires, and therefore you could say Vayokam Vayikras Begodav is above and beyond what the din requires. Other side of different gears over here, they didn't read it as Odiyani Gedola, they read it as Odiyani, period, and then Gedola. And as you can see in the Moshe Sarus Hashas, Gidolu Mikula, Amru Afilu Agabi Karka L'Yotza. You're not even Yotze Kfiyas Amita, even if you're sitting on the ground, lying on the ground. In any event, you see that David did above and beyond, and therefore you can't bring me right from David as well. So Moshe says, no, Omele Ke'ein Arutza. What it says over here is that he didn't actually sleep on the floor, but it was like he slept on the floor. Oh, that's Kfiyas Amita. And therefore, this isn't Yisei Rasa. This isn't Milsa Yisei Rasa. This isn't above and beyond. And therefore, this is in fact the source that Kriya has to be done in a standing position. Again, Lamaisa, we do Kriya while you're standing up, unless unfortunately the person is physically unable to do so. So then you rip Kriya in whatever position they can be in. Now we go to the next price. So Tana Rabbanon, the gear so that we have is the Elu, but the Masoros Hashas says it should be Elu. Elu Vavim She'Ovil also bad. The following things are not allowed to be done by an Ovil. Tosus points out, we're just going to list here various things, but he says, Lo Choshiv Dvarim She'Mitzuva Aleh. We're not dealing here with things that you're obligated to do. For example, Kagon Kfiyas Hamita, overturning the beds. Bativ HaSarosh, we said previously, we're not knowing either of these two things, but that's a mitzvah to do, overturn the beds. Their beds were different than our beds. Bativ HaSarosh, they would cover up their heads. Some people have the custom that they wear a hat on their head, low on the over their eyes. The Lo Choshiv Elamili De'Osu Behem. These are only talking here about things that it's forbidden for the Ovel to do. And again, this list is also not comprehensive because it doesn't include tefillin and she'la shalom, because lo choshev be'ein zekoy be'evil. This isn't for all the days of the avelus. In any event, Tosfos continues and discusses what's included, what's not, and why, but we'll just read our b'risa right now. So, elu dvarim she'ovel osu b'hem, the following things an ovel is forbidden to do. Osu b'melachah, he's not allowed to do any work. not only himself, but people aren't allowed to do work for him. Or Rechitza, he's not allowed to go and wash himself. Besicha, anointing himself. Rechitza and Sicha are considered always together. Bistasha Shamit is not allowed to have relations with his wife. Or within the Sasan is not allowed to wear leather shoes. All of these things it's forbidden to do during the week of the Shiva. Likewise, he's not allowed to learn, because learning is Simcha. There's no greater Simcha that a person can have during learning. But also Likros, Batorah, Ubenavim, Ubaksuvim, he's not allowed to go learn Tanakh, he's not allowed to go and learn the Lishnos, the Mishnah, he can't learn Mishnah, he can't learn the Medrash, that's the Drushos on the Pesukim, Malachos, Ubashas, and he's not allowed to learn Gemara and Mishnah, Ubagodos, nor the Agadat Gemaras, Vimayu Rabin Srihilo. However, if he's needed by the public to go teach them, they need a practical Shia, it's right before Pesach, they need to know what you're allowed to do on Pesach, what you're not allowed to do on Pesach, Vimayu Rabin Srihilo, Eno Nimna, then he would be allowed to go and provide Shiurim, he would be allowed to go and teach the people because they need him. Umaisa Shahaya, Umais Bino, Sharabyosi Bitsipari. One time it occurred that there was an Avelus that Ryosi had in Sipori, and nevertheless, Nicholas Bes Major Darish Kalyam Kula, but they needed him to teach them, and therefore, even though he was in Avelus, he was allowed to go teach it because it wasn't for him, it was for the people, and they needed him. They bring down the same din. If somebody's the moil, he's the only moil in town, so he has to do a bris milah so he can leave his avelus. So somebody's a doctor, theoretically, and there's nobody else that could do his doctoring. He's the only surgeon in town that knows how to do that procedure. The person needs an emergency procedure. So likewise, he was rabbi mitzrichelo, so he'd be allowed to not follow the laws of avelus and go take care of the needs of the rabbi. Similarly, Rabba Bar Bar Chana, likewise, Nebuch Isra Be Milsa, he also became Avelus. One of his seven relatives passed away, and Sovereign the Lola Mefek the Birko. He said, okay, I'm not going to go to Shir, I'm an Avelus. However, Amalei Rabbi Chanina told him, Imhayu Rabin Tzrichim Lo, Eino Nimna. We just learned this previous din, that if you're needed by the Rabbim, so then you should go and give the Shir. So Sovereign Lok Me Amorali. Okay, so he went to give the Shir, and when they used to give the shiurim in those days, so they would say the shiur over in a normal voice, and then the amora, the person who would say the shiur publicly, would be like the loudspeaker, the microphone, would go in and say the shiur out loud. So he thought he would do the shiurim in the regular way. Amalei Rav. Rav said to him, Tanya, no, we learned in the Braisa that while you're allowed, if you're needed for the rabbin to go give the shiur, uvash l'yam miturgamin, you're not allowed to give the shiur in the normal way by having a miturgamin go and say the shiur that you say, to say it over to the public. Now, so what should he do then? How would they give the shiur? Ela hechi ovid. So what should he do? So we have like another person involved in the chain. Ki had the tanya, we learned in the brisa in a situation. Maisu meis benosho Yehuda bar Eloi. Nebuch, the great Rav Yehuda bar Eloi, his Rav Yehuda Chassid that we find in Out Shas, either him or Rav Yehuda ben Bava, is always called the Rav Yehuda Chassid. So Rav Yehuda bar Eloi, Nebuch, he lost his son, and he was needed by the rabbi, the Nichlas Beis HaMedrash, to give the shir. So the Nichlas Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, the Yosha B'tzido, so he, instead of having his Meturgaman, he placed Rav Chananya ben Akavya to his side, the Yosha B'tzido, he sat next to him, the Lochashu, the Rechanani ben Akavya, and he whispered the Shia to Rechanani ben Akavya, and Rechanani ben Akavya then sent it over to the Meturgaman, Rechanani ben Akavya, the Meturgaman, who then said the Shia to the public, Meturgaman Ishmael Rabbim. So this way, the person in Avelos, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, didn't give it over to the Meturgaman directly, because that would be inappropriate. That would demonstrate a lack of, at all, Avelos over here. So instead, they had it through the system where he told it to, Rav Yehuda bar Eloi, told it to Rav Chananya ben Akavya, who then told it to Meturgaman, and Meturgaman said it to the public. Tanur Rabban, we learn the following, Raisa, Avel Shlosha Yomim HaRishonim, during the first 3 days of the Avelos. We'll see, does this include the third day or not? No, it doesn't. Also, Linaf Tefillin, he's not allowed to wear Tefillin. However, Mishlishi Ve'elich, the third day, meaning somewhat into the third day until the sun rises, so from dawn until the sun rises, you don't wear tefillin, but from the time that the sun rises on the third day, from Aneitzachama, Ve'elech, Shlosh Ushlishi Bichlau, the third day is included, Mutal Leach Tefillin, you start putting on tefillin again. So according to the Tanakhama over here, which we'll see is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, you don't go and wear tefillin the first day and the second day, you only start putting on tefillin the third day after the sun has risen. New people come and aren't aware that this is the third day, and they think that you're putting on tefillin. They'll think that an avil is allowed to wear tefillin. Ain't no cholis. He says you don't have to be concerned about this. You don't have to take off your tefillin. It's the third day. They will find out, and they'll eventually ask, "How come he was wearing tefillin? You know, they wear tefillin." They say, "Oh, it's the third day," and they'll understand. Fine. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rishua, the famous Bar Pulta of Rabbi Eliezer throughout Shas, Rishua ben Chananya, Rishua Omer, Avel Shnei Yamim Rishonim Asur L'Tefillah. He says this only applies on the first 2 days, meaning the first day and the second day up until the sun rises. Hanetzach Hama. And this many Paskin Halacha L'Maisa, people that don't wear the tefillah on the first day of the Avelos, but on the second day, many people will wait to have the minyan after the sun has risen. They won't daven a vasikin that day. They won't put on their tefillin before the sun rises. They'll wait till the second day, till the sun rises. Again, not everybody's medactic on this. Others will allow you to have it, but this is what the opinion that says you don't put on tefillin the second day until after the sun rises is based upon this Rabbi Yeshua. And he says, Alushnei Yom Rishonim, also tefillin the first day and a little bit of the second day, you don't put on tefillin. But Misheni, from the second day and on, Misheni Bichlal, from certainly from the Hanetzach Hama, Mutol tefillin, you can't put on tefillin. And here he says, but if people come on the second day, they're not going to realize it's the second day. They'll think, hey, he's wearing tefillin. So Rabbi Yeshua says, you have to go take them off. So people shouldn't see that you're wearing tefillin on the second day, because they may not realize it's the second day. They'll think that you're allowed to wear tefillin even on the first day. So this is a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. It's two things. One, is it 2 days or 3 days? And then, do you have to take off the tefillin or not take off the tefillin on the day that you're allowed to start wearing the tefillin? Amar Rav Masa, the Rav Masa says, my time with Rabbi Eliezer, what was Rabbi Eliezer's reasoning for saying you can't wear it the first 2 days, you only can start putting it on the third day? So this is based upon the Sib. By Yitmu Yemei Bechi Eva Moshe, after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, so it says that the Yemei Bechi, the most intense mourning for Moshe Rabbeinu, was Yemei. The minimum of Yemei is two. So Miut Rabim is Shtayim. And therefore, 2 days is when they had the full Avelus, meaning they couldn't put on tefillin for the 2 days. I'm Ravina, my time with Rabbi Shua. What was Rabbi Shua's reading saying only the first day and a little bit of the second day, as opposed to Rabbi Lezer said 2 days and a little bit of the third day? He brings down the famous pasuk we have in Amos, where it said that the day afterwards will be a very bitter day. In other words, 1 day is a bitter day. And now the Gemara Zavis can say, what does each one do with the other one's pasuk? No, Rabbi Shua, he also agrees, Nami Hoksiv. What does he do with that pasuk? So on my loch, he would tell you, Shai Moshe. Moshe is different. The Kofit Edle. His Avelus was such a strong Avelus, all of Kaiso, that he merited not putting on tefillin for 2 days. But for everybody else, putting on tefillin for 1 day, not putting on tefillin for 1 day is enough. No, what does Rabbi Eliezer do with the pasuk that from Amos that Rabbi Yeshua brought? The pasuk where it says Vachriso Kiyomar, Rabbi Eliezer Nami Yoksi Vachriso Kiyomar. What does he do with that pasuk? So he says Ika Mariru Chad Yomahu. He agrees that the most bitter time is 1 day. However, the din of tefillin is 2 days. Amarulo, how do we paskin halachic Rabbi Eliezer b'chalitza v'halachic Rabbi Yeshua b'hanocha? He says the halach is like Rabbi Eliezer that you don't have to go and take off your tefillin once you put them on, but we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua that you only don't put on the tefillin for the first day and a little bit of the second day, like I said, until Hanetzach Hama, but then you put them on, you don't have to take them off, because we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer in terms of taking them off, paskin like Rabbi Yeshua in terms of how long. The Gemara questions this and says, Ibar lu, b'sheni l'ula choletz, o'enu choletz. When we said we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer b'chalitza, does that mean only on the third day? But does it mean even on the second day that we paskin that you don't have to take it off? Or do we say, no, we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua on the second day that you do have to take them off because of the concern of Panim Chadoshos? So the Gemara says, Toshma, I'll show you that even on the second day you have to go take them off. Not like the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer for the third day, that's only on the third day, but on the second day you do have to go take them off. Toshma, Ula said, Amar Ula, Cholei Tzemaniach Afilu Me'a Panim. Even on the second day, you have to do it 100 times. If new Panim Chadoshos come, so then you have to take off the tefillin. If they visited on the first day and saw you weren't wearing tefillin, then on the second day you don't have to take off the tefillin. But if it's part of Chadashos, you have to take off the tefillin even 100 times. And I'll show you a Brisa supports this. Tani Nami Hachi, Yehuda ben Tema Omer, Cholei Tzemaniach Afilu Me'a Panim. The Brisa says, Beferish, that on the second day, if it's part of Chadashos, you have to take off the tefillin because they may be concerned that you're wearing tefillin. They didn't realize that this is the second day. On the other hand, Rava disagrees. Rava Mar, no. Kiva Sheiniach, once you put on the tefillin, Shuv Eino Choletz. We paskin fully like Rabbi Eliezer, that says once you put on the tefillin, whether it's the second day or the third day, once you put on the tefillin, you don't have to go take them off. Ayimur says, Rava hu diyamar halacha kitana didon diyamar shlosha. Rava is the one that says in our Mishnah, we paskin like our Mishnah. Again, we had the opinion of the Chacham, and we had the opinion of others that said that you even have Shoah Achas, that's enough that the regal knocks off the Shiva. But the Tana of our Mishnah said you need 3 days. And Rava said, I paskin like the Tana of our Mishnah, you need 3 days. So if you need 3 days, so then the wearing of the tefillin should also be 3 days, and therefore you should be choletz. So how could Rava say that you're not choletz a tefillin on the second day? Seems to be a contradiction between the two opinions of Rava. And we turn to Chaf Aleph of the base. He says, no mitzvah shiny. Here we're dealing with a mitzvah. putting on the tefillin. That's different than the prohibitions. Don't do this, don't do that. Here, you have to put on the tefillin, and therefore, he would say, Rabbi would say that no, once you put it on, you don't take it off. Gemara starts with another braisa. Tana Rabbanon, Avel Shlosha Yomim Arishonim. The first 3 days the Avelus occurs, Asa Melacha, Inala Du Melacha. Now, technically, Inala Du Melacha, all days of the Avelus, but here we'll see that there are exceptions to the rule. Vafilu Oni Amispanis Venatstaka, however, has to go and not do a work for the first 3 days. Tosus brings down that if Hinebuch is so starving and the rest of the people don't take care of him, so I've avoided to them. But in any event, even the Avel who's in Oni isn't allowed to go and do work during the first 3 days. But Mikamba Elech, if it's necessary, he can't survive without doing the work. And I've avoided to the neighbors that don't help out. But Nebuch, he doesn't have anything. Mikamba Elech Ose Bitsina Besoch Beso. He would be allowed to do some work in his house that's essential for him to get food. Likewise, if the woman is a very poor woman, so then she'd be also allowed to do work like spinning, which can be done in the privacy of her house as well. And that's the simple understanding of this, that it's talking about a person who's in tremendous need. They're very, very poor. Furthermore, Tana Rabban will learn so Avel Shlosha Yomim Arishonim Eino Holech LeBeiso Avel, and Avel in his first 3 days can't go visit another Avel who is sitting Shiva. However, Mikam Ve'elech, in the days after the first 3 days, so Nebuch, you have to go visit somebody else in Shiva, you'd be allowed to go Holech, but when he goes and sits there, he doesn't sit like the Menachemim, like the people that are coming to comfort the mourner, but he sits amongst the mourners. So he also sits down on the ground or on the low chairs and sits with the mourners and not with the people that are coming to be Menachem in the morning, because he's an Avelis himself, albeit he is going to pay a Shiva call on the one who he's going to visit. Another writes, Tana Rabbanan, Avel Shlosha Yomim Rishonim Asa B'Shelah Shalom. Here's another din. We are familiar with this din from Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av, when we act like Avelim, so we don't say hello to anybody. So too, in Avel, in the first 3 days, shouldn't say hello to anybody. Avel Shlosha Yomim Rishonim Asa B'Shelah Shalom. He's not allowed to say hello to somebody. And after that, Mishlosha V'Yat Shiva Mei Shiveinu Shol. He still shouldn't say hello to somebody, but if somebody says, how are you doing? He's allowed to respond to them. He's allowed to say hello. He's allowed to say something back to them. But in the first 3 days, he doesn't even do that. Mikan Va'elech. But after the Shiva, Shoel U'Mei Shiv Kedarku. Then he can respond in a normal way. As people say hello to each other, he'd be allowed to do so. Now, this Brisa seems to be contradicted by something else. So it said over here, but we learned in another brayis of Tanya, Maisu Mesu Bonav Shel Rabbi Akiva. That's the girsa that we have, that Nebuch, Rabbi Akiva, lost two of his sons. Now, Rashi in the Ksiv Yad says he only lost one of his sons, and it was a young child. It wasn't a chosin age child. In any event, whether he lost one or two child, it's not the main thrust of the story. But the point over here is that he gave Shalom to all of Klai Yisrael. How is he allowed to do that? That's the purpose that the story is being brought over here. So, in any event, Rabbi Akiva is Nebuch sitting Shiva, and they're going to be maspid his son or sons. Nichlesu Kol Yisrael, everybody from Kol Yisrael comes. This is the great Rabbi Akiva. Vispidim Hesped God. They made a tremendous, tremendous eulogies in commemoration of Rabbi Akiva's son or sons. Bishas P'tiras son, when the burial was done and the Hespedim were all done, so everybody's taking leave of Rabbi Akiva. So what does he do? Rabbi Akiva gets up. Amar Rabbi Akiva al Sasul Gadol. He stands up on a big bench so everybody can hear him. Amar, and he says to the whole public that's there, Achenu Beis Yisrael Shimu, everybody over here, listen to me. Afilu Shnei Banim Chasanim, even if I had two children that were of the age of Chasanim, they were older children. He lost younger children. And one child, and he says, even if they'd been older children, I still would have been menucham, who I would have somehow been comforted, because it is tremendous kavod that you did for me. Now, if you did it because I'm Akiva, Bishul Akiva, boss, and because my name is Akiva, so then, Kama Akiva Bashuk, there are many, many people out there, Hari Kama Akiva Bashuk, there are many, many people out there that have the name of Akiva. So it wasn't because of Akiva. So it must be because I'm Rabbi Akiva. Elakach Amartim, you said, because of the Torah that I've learned, it's not me that you're giving cover to, it's the Torah that you're giving cover to. Elakach Amartim, you must have all said, Torah is Elokah Belibo. It's because he's learned Torah, so you're giving cover to the Torah. Because she came, she schartem kafu. So certainly in this situation, You should all be rewarded with double reward. L'chul v'atechem l'shalom. And here's the point where he says to them, shalom, go to your houses in shalom. So he gives them a greeting. Go to your houses with shalom. And therefore, he's in the first days of the Shiva, right? This is the very start of the Shiva. They just buried his son or sons. So how, this is the question, how could he go give Sheila shalom? He said to them, shalom, how could he go and do this? Because he is in the first day of the Shiva. That is the question the Gemara asks. And the Gemara says, Kavod Rabim Shiny, because the public over here, that's a different situation than an individual. So to give an individual shalom, how are you doing? That you wouldn't be allowed to do. But because a huge public came out to attend the funeral and to be maspid his son or sons, so therefore Rabbi Akiva had the right, because it was the Rabim, to go and wish them shalom. But under normal circumstances, during the 3 days, the first 3 days, you would be usher in Sheila Shalom. Now, I will tell you a personal story over here, which I always am reminded of this every time I think of this Gemara, and that is my father, Olav Shalom, Yosef Nissen ben Yecheskel, was Niftar while we were learning this Gemara 2 cycles ago. Now it's 15 years. His Yahrzeit will be the 15th Yahrzeit this year, coming up in the very near future on Yud Nissan. And my father had a Gemara in his house. I was sitting Shiva in my father's house, and it was amazing that during the Shiva, I was allowed to do the Daf Yomi, because it was this Gemara, and you're allowed to learn this Daf on a simplistic level in the Daf Yomi. And I had written down in my father's Gemara, I almost didn't write anything down in that Gemara, but I wrote down a Shev Mishmuel. And the Shev Mishmuel gave me such comfort then, and I will tell it over to you now. The Shev Mishmuel asks, why in the world would Rabbi Akiva be, so to say, getting nechama from the fact that everybody gave him covered? Is Rabbi Akiva interested in kavod? The fact that he says, oh, you gave me such great kavod over here, so I'm a nucham? Would really that provide nechama to somebody over the loss of a son or a sons? So the Shev Mishmuel says, a beautiful idea, and what made me very comforted, because as I mentioned, my father's yard site was Yud Nisan, and therefore we didn't do Hespedim, we just read Tilim, we didn't do any Hespedim whatsoever, because that's the din, and my father would have wanted the din to be followed rather than hear Hespedim. So I didn't make any Hespedim for my father, and I felt bad that we didn't make Hespedim. And then I came home that night and saw this Gemara that I had written down by hand years before. And the only thing that's written in that Gemara, I don't have other things written in that Gemara, just this Shev Mishmuel, because it impressed me so much when I heard it, and it was a direct communication from my father, Olav HaShalom, telling me that I should be Menucham. Because the Shev Mishmuel says, how could Rabbi Kiva be Menucham from getting covered? So the answer was, he said, the fact that you're giving me cover for the Torah that I've learned means that my children didn't die because of a sin that I had done or that they had done. The fact that there was such a large crowd, such a people assembling to give kavod to me, means that this was just the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that my son or sons were supposed to die at this time, and that's it. It's not because Rachmon al-San, I had done an Aveira, or they had done an Aveira. This is the Gzeira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is the tremendous Nechama that Rabbi Akiva got. And I felt that Nechama too, when my father passed away. So I said, this is the decree from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's lav davka that there was a particular sin that I had done, Rachmon al-San, or that my father had done. Certainly not. This was just the decree HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Misa to the world, and therefore this was the great Nechama that Rabbi Akiva had, and it was a great Nechama that I had. My father's holy Neshama should get an Aliyah for my saying this Vart over again. Gemara continues and says, Mishlosh of Yad Shiva Mei Shevein Osho. We quote the next part of the Braisa where it said, from the third to the seventh day, you shouldn't give Shalom, but if somebody says Shalom to you, you're allowed to respond. However, you don't go and initiate the Shalom. But after the Shiva, Mikam Eilach Shalom Mei Shevein Darko, then you're allowed to go and respond in the normal fashion. So that is questionable, because after the Shiva, you're not allowed to continue giving Shalom. After all, there are dinim about this. Uriminu, we see another Braisa says, Hamotzi Es Chaveru Ovel, if you find a person in Avelus, so b'so shloshim yom medabri mo tanchumim, during the entire shloshim, you can still say hamoki minachim, you can give them tanchumim, the eno shol b'shlomo, but you're not allowed to go and greet him. Li'achah shloshim yom, after the shloshim, shol b'shlomo, then you can go and greet him. However, you still v'eno medabri mo tanchumim, then you don't say anymore hamoki minachim eschem. However, by a parent, you're allowed to still say that for the entire year. In any event, the Braisa continues and says, "Meisa ishto rachmona l'slan." If a man lost his wife and he gets married again during the shloshim, v'nosa isha acheres, Rashi says, "How could you do this?" So the answer is, he wasn't yet mekayim the mitzvah period of Arabia, so he's allowed to. Tosfos brings down another possibility is that he has young children at home that needed a nurse. They needed a wet nurse, or they needed somebody to take care of their children, so therefore they were allowed to get married. They wouldn't consummate the marriage, but they would be allowed to get married even during the shloshim. In any event, Meisa ishto v'nosa isha acheres, he did get married again, even during the shloshim. So you don't go to the guy's house where he has a new wife there and wish him nechama on his old wife. That's inappropriate. As Rashi says, it's inappropriate to be menachim him in front of the wife. He's going to be upset because, hey, there's another woman over here that he's accepting comfort on. I'm the new wife. Why is he accepting comfort, so to say, on the old wife? Of course, it's normal that he should mourn his old wife, and the second wife understands that, but still, it's inappropriate to do it right in front of her. And therefore, mitzvah b'shuk, if they were to meet up in the shuk, in the marketplace, not in the house where the new wife is present, so amalo b'safa rafa b'chavid rosh, then he's allowed to give him nechama in a quiet and in a serious way, not in a lighthearted way. Nu, what do you see over here? That even after the shiva, you still don't give shalom. But the previous brisa said you can't give shalom, so the theory between the two brisas, so I read the Ravin, he says no. Who shall be shalom acherim? No, he's allowed to go and ask the other people, how are you doing? Because they're all comfortable. However, they can't ask him, because he's not in good situation. Nebuch is still in the shloshim. So he's allowed to ask them, but they're not allowed to ask him. But the Gemara says that's not what it said. It says over here that he is allowed to respond to it. Obviously, they went and said hello to him. So how can they do that to him? He's not in a good way, so there's a stira. So more says, because they didn't know. The lo yade, the people didn't know. So more says, ihachi hasum nami. Then even in the first 3 days, so how's he not allowed to answer? If they didn't know, and they said, how are you doing? So he's allowed to respond to them after day 3. Why can't he respond to them the same way? Before day 3, he should answer them. So more says, no hasum modalu v'lo mahadalu. In the first 3 days, when they do say something to you, you have to tell them, I'm an avelus. After the 3rd day, he doesn't have to go through the details. If he doesn't want to, he can just say, I'm fine, thank you, I'm okay. He can just answer them. He doesn't have to go and give the details. The first 3 days, he can't answer them. He should say, no, Nebuch, I'm an avelus, I can't answer you. After that, if he wishes to, he can just answer them without going into the details. So therefore, there's no stira between the two brises. But we still have another stira, or minu. It says in the following brisa, Hamotze es chaveiro avel, if you meet up with somebody that is in mourning and it's still in the Yud Beis Chodesh, so then you are allowed to go and wish him nechama. However, the Eino Shoah b'Shlomo, but you're not allowed to go and ask him how he's doing. But after the 12 months, Le'acha Shneimos HaChodesh, Shoah b'Shlomo, you are allowed to ask him how he's doing. And you're not allowed to say Hamokim Inachem, Eino Medaber Imo Tanchumim. As the Gemara is going to tell us in a moment, because it's like a bracha levatala. It's too late to ask for tachumim. The guy's already been comforted, and all you're going to do is make him feel bad again. So therefore, you don't give tachumim after the 12-month period of time. However, avu b'daber imo min atzad. But you are allowed to say, you know, hope you're doing well, being all that you've been through, etc. Indirectly, you can go and wish him tachumim, but you don't write out and say, hamokim inachem ischem. That is what the brisa says. In addition, Amar Rameir of Meir answers that and he says, if a person were to go after the 12-month period of time and still say, Amokim Inachim, and give him Tanchumim, what is that like? Lamo Domer, that's the equivalent of the Adam Shinish Baraglo. If the person has a broken leg, but now Baruch Hashem, it's already better. And then he goes to the doctor. Mitzor Rofe, a doctor finds him, Yom Alon. The doctor tells him, oh, I'm the best orthopedist around. Klach Etzli, come to me. Shani Shovra, I'll break your leg again, and I'll fix it. That you'll know that I'm the best doctor around, that the medications that I use are terrific. The guy doesn't need his help. He doesn't have a broken leg anymore. So it's equivalent, Rameyah says, if you give Tanchumim to somebody, it's as if you broke their leg again, and now you're trying to heal it. The guy doesn't need it. His Tanchumim has already occurred. He's already been comforted. The Torah tells us that after a year, a person doesn't ever forget the maze, but it gets a little bit better to the point that you're able to go on with life and you don't need Tanchumim. So therefore, this Brisa tells us that for the 12-month period of time, you don't ask Shalom, but after that, you can. So before we said that, after the Shloshim, you can't ask Shalom. So what's the difference? So Gemara says, Lokasha, it depends whether you're dealing with a parent or whether you're dealing with the other 5 relatives. Hob Yavu V'Imo, it's 12 months. That's a din of Kibud Ava Aim, and therefore, that goes for the 12-month period of time. Hob Yishar Krovim, but for the other Krovim, after the Shloshim, you can ask them how they're doing. Gemara says, "Hosam nami yidaber imo tanchumim natzat." So then, why doesn't it say by the other krovim after the shloshim that you can't give them tanchumim, but you should also mention, you know, how you're doing? I know what you've been through. Help everything as well. So why don't they say minatzat over there? So Gemara says, "Yeah, enochan nami." That's exactly what they do. When it says umay inu medaber imo tanchumim, what does that mean? It means you don't say kedarko hamochi minachem ischem. You don't say that. Abu medaber imo minatzat. But you are allowed to talk to him and say, "I hope you're doing well. Is there anything I can do for you, etc." You can give words of nechama without coming out directly and saying tanchumim. Another braisa, Tana Rabbanan, Avel Shlosha Yomim Rishonim, and Avel during the first 3 days, Ba Mimakum Karov Mo Neiman. Now here we're dealing with the new sugya, and that is, what happens if not everybody is together at the time of the Shiva? So you have people coming from faraway places. So even today with an airplane, somebody couldn't be at the funeral, and he arrives a day later. Somebody went to Eretz Yisrael, and he comes back a day afterwards, and everybody else is already sitting Shiva. So is his Shiva the same as theirs? That's a simple way to understand this. So you have, in the first 3 days, if a new relative comes, Bar Mimokum Karvi comes from a nearby enough place, we'll define that as a distance within 10 parsos, because that's how much you can travel in one day. That's 40 kilometers, roughly, 40 mil. There's 4 mil in a parsa, and we'll see that this is 10 parsas that a person can travel. So therefore, if you're coming within that distance, so then, mona imoeb, you can have the shiva with them. You don't start your own shiva. They're already up to day one, day two. You can join them. You don't have to have 7 days on your own. You can join them. Bami mokum racho, but if you're further away from that, mona liatz with them. When you come, you have to start counting the shiva, so they may be up to day four, but you start from day one. Mikan ve'elech, afilu ba mimokum karov. But after the first 3 days, even if you're coming from a nearby place, mona liatzu, then you have to count on your own as well. That is the opinion of the Tanakam in this brisa. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu ba ba yomashvi mimokum karov. Even if you come on the seventh day, now, the seventh day could mean either at the night of the seventh day, so they're still sitting Shiva, or it could mean on the morning of the seventh day, they haven't yet gotten up from sitting Shiva, and even though they're going to get up that day, since you arrived before they got up, so then, if you're coming from a makom karov, moni maim. So you'll just sit a short period of time in shiva for them, even though you have to sit 7 days. Normally it would be a shiva for a relative that you have to sit shiva for 7 days. But in this situation, since you arrived while they were still sitting shiva, so in this situation, you would just sit with them that morning on the seventh day, and then everybody would say, "Amokim yinachim," to them, and they'd get up and they'd take a walk around the block. You could get up with them and take a walk around the block, even though you just sat for 15 minutes. That's what Rabbi Shimon tells us. Now we'll go back and dissect the first part of the braisa. Amar Mar, that's what we repeat the first part of the braisa. It says, Shloshi Amar Mishonim, it depends, according to the Tanakhama, Bami Makum Karov, Moni Moim, but if you came from a faraway place, then you count separately. So it said, if you come from a place that's Karov, you count with them. Amar Ruchia Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ruchia Bar Rav Sending Rav Yochanan, Vushiesh Godol HaBayis BaBayis. That's if the patriarch of the house or the matriarch of the house is with them in the house. So that person, so to say, runs the Shiva. They're the person that everybody's subordinate to. So if the most important person of the house is in that Shiva already, so then a person coming later on can join them. But if there is no such person in the house, so then everybody has their own Shiva. You don't say you're subordinate to the head of the house. That is what Rav Chia Bar Abba said in Rav Yochanan. But they questioned this, and they said, Ibarlu, they asked, and we turned to Chav Beis Omer Aluv. What about Holach Godol HaBayis, the Beis HaKvaros? What happens if the Godol HaBayis went to the Beis HaKvaros, and now he's returning to everybody in the house? Mahu, what's the halacha? Does he get to be subordinate to them, or do we say, no, since he's the Godol HaBayis, he has his own count? Granted, they don't have to follow his count, but he can't follow their count. He has to count himself. That's a simple way to understand this. Tosfos is another way to understand this. And says we're talking about that other people come there. So we had said before, this is only if the Godol HaBayis is there. What happens if the Godol HaBayis is busy taking care of the burial? And he's off someplace with the burial. And now the other relatives comes. Do they follow the people that are already seeing Shiva? Or do no, they have to wait till the Godol HaBayis comes? So that's another way to learn it. Either way, they asked, Mahu, what's the halacha? The Gemara says, let's go and answer this question from the following braisa. Toshma, it said in the braisa, the Amor Ruchia Bar Abba, Amor Yochanan, that same Amor Ruchia Bar Abba, said in Rav Yochanan, he says, Afilu Holach Godol HaBayis LeBeis HaKvaros, even if the Godol HaBayis, the person everybody is subordinate to, is not in the house, he's by the Beis HaKvaros, Mo Ne'iman. Either he is allowed to come back and count with everybody else, or the other people can still follow, even though the Godol HaBayis is not there, they can follow the other people in the house. So Gemara says, Mona imohem, Fatanya, Mona liatzva. But another brisa said that they count by themselves. How can you tell me Mona imohem? So there's a stira between the two brises. So Gemara says, Lokasha, Hadayasu begot lasa, No, when it said that they can't count with them, that's if they come after 3 days, like we brought down before. But if they come within the first 3 days, then you can go and count with them. You don't have to start your own count. And I'll show you that this is true. Rav said to the people that lived in Hatzalpuni, Hatzalpuni is the name of either a place or a name of a family. Hatzalpuni, by the name, Hatzlalpuni, was the name of Shimshon Akibar. It was the name of his mother, Hatzlalpuni. In any event, the Asu Bego Tlasa Limnu Badaichu. Rav told the people of this town, Hatzalpuni, that if the persons who coming to sit Shiva with the rest of the family came within the first 3 days, Bego Tlasu Limnu Badaichu, they're allowed to go count with them. But the Lo Asu Bego Tlasa, they didn't come within the first 3 days, Limnu Nashaya, then they have to go count by themselves. It doesn't seem to mention that the Godel HaBayis has to be there. Amalu Rav of Bnei Mechuzah. Likewise, Rav said to the Bnei Mechuzah, Atun, you, the lo as litu basar arsa, you didn't go with the coffin to the actual burial place, you're starting to sit Shiva now. Miki madrisu apaychu mi bava da'abula aschilu minu. When you leave the bier that's going to carry the mace to the actual cemetery, when you turn away from there, from the bava, from the gate, and you go back to your house, so then you start the Shiva right then and there, and the other people will come, they can follow you in the Shiva, or if they come later on, so more than 3 days, so then they wouldn't necessarily follow you in the Shiva. This is a good place to stop this year. With this, we conclude today's share.